You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Yes, 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 yes. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another great edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. As usual, I am your host, Hendel. I'll be with you until 8 p.m. this evening. So welcome to another great edition of the Eagle Sports Zone. And today on the Eagle Sports Zone, we're going to take a journey back in time, a journey through history. We're going to be discussing sports history, African sports history to be specific. And we're going to look at some history that might not be so known to people. Some history that is, you know, that has flown under the radar a little bit. And the reason we're going to be discussing this today, it's because I took a trip to the National Archives. I can't really say what motivated me to do so, but I just, you know, I woke up one day and I said, let me go to the National Archives and see what is in the archives in regard to sport, right? And another motivator for this is, I can't remember exactly where she was speaking when she said this, but our Minister of Sports, Ms. Sanet Steenkamp, at one of these sporting events that I covered, she spoke about the importance of filling our national archives with, you know, sporting records. I believe she said this actually at the beginning of last year when she met all the sporting federations that one time in Windhoek. If my memory serves me correct, is where she said this. So I thought, when I heard this, I thought, yes, 100%. We need a place, we need a center, whether it's a building, even if it's a digital platform that has all Namibian sporting feats. Not just when records are broken. I mean, when someone wins the national 100 meter finals, that needs to be recorded somewhere. When African Stars wins a league title, that needs to be recorded somewhere. When the Brave Gladiators win the COSAFA, that needs to be recorded somewhere. There needs to be either physical or digital proof, some kind of proof that is put together by and maintained by a particular government entity, whether that's the Ministry of Sport, whether it's the Sporting Commission. That's for the politicians and regulators to figure out. But such an entity needs to exist. And it's why our Minister, Ms. Steenkamp, said this. And I just had the random thought. I said, okay, since then, let me go visit the archives. Let me go see if, you know, people followed the minister's orders, essentially. And also, another reason that I wanted to go to the National Archives to see if there's some, you know, Namibian sporting history, it's because, as you guys know, as Eagle FM's or Eagle Media House's sports journalist, sometimes I need information, right? I need information, whether it's to write a story, whether it's to report on something that's currently happening. Sometimes I need information from the past to make the present story make sense. For example, let me give you one example. When Zenata Coleman, the Brave Gladiators captain, arguably, I don't think it's arguable anymore, but probably our best female footballer that Namibia has ever produced, right? When she announced that she's retiring from COSAFA competition, I wanted to publish a piece that speaks about Zenata's numbers for the national team. And I couldn't find an official record anywhere. The only record I could find of this was on Wikipedia. And we all know the shortfalls that come with relying on Wikipedia for accurate accounts of things, right? So, you know, I tried everywhere. I tried whether it's our Namibian Football Association. I even tried Sports Commission. No one could really give me an answer. So it's situations like that why national archives are key, especially for sport also. And as we had the veteran journalist, Mr. Chris Kambweka, Mr. CK they call him in the industry, when he wrote his book about Namibian footballing sports history. And when we had him on here, he spoke about a lot of things that I never heard about. Interesting things that I never heard about. So I thought, you know what? There should be a place where these things are available. And if you'd like to listen to that conversation that we had, simply go to the Eagle FM website or the Eagle FM mobile application that you can download for free now on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Simply type in Eagle FM Namibia on our website, www.eaglefm.com.na. Go to the podcast section. This podcast section allows you to listen to any show that has aired on Eagle FM. So whether it's this show, Eagle Sports Zone, whether it's Unpacking the Day, whether it's Mind the Gap, whether it's The Home Run, whether it's Onkundana Dingi, Sizuma Saligo, all the shows that you know on Eagle FM, if you missed it, you know, you happen to miss your favorite show, maybe you were busy, then fear not. All you have to do is go either onto the app or the website and go to the podcast section and type in the name of the show that it is you're looking for. And for example, the one I was talking about with Mr. Kambaekwa, I called him Chris. Actually, his name is Carlos. Apologies for that, Mr. Carlos. If you're looking for the episode that we had with Mr. Carlos Kambaekwa, veteran Namibian sports journalist, simply go into that podcast portal that I'm talking about. Type in the show name, for example, Eagle Sports Zone, Carlos Kambaekwa, and it will come right up. So you can do that with any show. You can listen at any time at your own pace. You can listen 5 minutes now, 10 minutes later. However you want, you can catch up on your favorite shows. And of course, make sure to be following us on all of our social media pages. That's Eagle FM Namibia everywhere. Right? And so as I was saying, there's a big need for Namibian sports to be documented, you know. Even in Carlos's book that he was talking about on here, most of it is just, you know, he said, she said. And of course, he did his best to verify what people were telling him. But who's to say that, you know, three people didn't hear something incorrectly or just decided to make something up, and now 20 years later we take it as fact? There's no way to really verify what is being said, because there's no central place where all this information is being housed. So, to make a long story short, I took a trip to the National Archives. You know, first I was in the library. I wanted to see, because it's in the National Library here in Windhoek. The archives are, they have their own section there. So first I went to the library, you know, most around, I think it was my first time actually in life that I entered that library. But we went to the library, you know, checked it out, and then I asked, okay, where's the National Archives? And, you know, maybe I had an unrealistic expectation of what the National Archives would look like, but it was quite, let me say, I expected more. I definitely expected more. I thought I would walk into this huge, like, vault of just books and the papers of various, you know, periods of time of Namibia. But really, at least the parts that I saw, it's just one shelf that has a few books and a few records. There's, you know, all kinds of things of, you know, when Namibia was being drawn. There's like books on like contact information of all the farmers around the country in certain periods of the time. Things like that, right? Which, of course, are very important. I'm not saying it's not important. It's of the highest importance, actually, that this information is being kept somewhere. So then I asked the archivist. Yes, the archivist that was sitting at the, she has like a little room. So I said, is there anything related to sport in here? By the way, I spent like 2 hours in this place, because I ended up, you know, reading some history on Namibia that I didn't know. But so after I finished reading, I said, after I scanned every book, I said, ma'am, is there anything, even just one piece of paper in this archive, in this National Archive related to sport? And she actually almost laughed at me. Out of confusion as well. Because the answer was no. There's nothing in there related to sport, which I was quite disappointed by. So a year on, maybe a year and a half on to when our minister made this call, at least at the time of this recording, we haven't fulfilled that request that he requested as a sporting community. Now, perhaps these records are going to be put somewhere else, somewhere that I am not aware of. Maybe in that Hall of Fame section that they're building in the Independence Stadium when that gets built, which you don't know is exactly when. But as we stand today, there's no real place you can go to say, let me learn about Namibian sports history. At least none that I could find. You know, if you're listening and you know of any, do call in, let me know at 083-288-401. That's 083-288-401. And the great thing about, and another reason why having the central place for such information. I'll give you another example. When African Stars won the league most recently, a few weeks ago, I was there at their last game, and I managed to get Awilo Stephanos for an interview. And it was actually only in the interview where I found out that he is now the most decorated Namibian football player in terms of local league titles, right? Because he won 4 with Stars, and he won 4 with Black Africa. Black Africa, who, by the way, might be getting relegated to the, I think now, 3rd division. How the mighty have fallen. But nonetheless, he said in that interview that, yes, now that I've won this league title, I am now the most decorated Namibian footballer, surpassing Rudy Lowe. And as a sports journalist, this would have been great information to have coming in to the fixture, right? Because I learned about it then and there on the spot. And truthfully speaking, there was no way for me to verify this when he said it. And so we published the interview, of course, but it was published on the basis of kind of like, I trust what you're saying. Like, why would you lie to me and say that you're the most decorated player? And it ended up being true, you know, verified it with other people. Basically, the whole community agreed and said, yes, it is true. But it would have been nice if there was a central place where I could have gone and just see who is on this list. Because other than Rudy Lowe, I don't know who else is on this list. Because in the time when Rudy Lowe was playing, I wasn't doing what I'm doing now. I was in school. Probably in primary school even. So you get my point. You get my point. And we'll continue on the other side of this with some local sporting news before we get into our sports business news on the continent. And then before we get into the depths of African sports history. But as always, you're welcome to call into the studio at any time at 083-288-401. I know we have a lot of Arsenal fans that listen to this show. Before I go to the commercial break, I will have you know that you are currently joined 0-0 with West Ham. It is still the first half. And so as things stand right now, Arsenal 36 games played, 77 points. In first place in the English Premier League. In second place, you have Manchester City on 35 points, on 74 points. So if things stay as they are, and Man City win their game in hand, then they will be level on points with Arsenal. And I believe they'll go first because they will have a higher goal difference. But nonetheless, we're going to take a short musical break, and then we'll be back on the other side of this to continue with our lovely program. We'll be right back after these sounds from none other than Mr. Bob Marley.
Yes, my friend, we did a street again. Yes, my friend, my good friend, them say we're free again.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. As usual, I'm your host, Hende. And I will be with you until 8 p.m. on the lovely Eagle Sports Zone. Some more English Premier League scores. Before the musical break, I told you that Arsenal and West Ham are playing to a 0-0 draw. It is now halftime and it is still 0-0. Other Premier League scores, and Newcastle beat, they didn't beat, they drew with Nottingham Forest 1-1. Crystal Palace drew with Everton 2-2. It was a day of draws with Burnley drawing a 2-2 with Aston Villa. Then to start the weekend, we had Liverpool up against Chelsea that ended 1-1 and Bournemouth beat Fulham 1-0. The Red Devils, that is Manchester United, drew 0-0 with Sunderland. Bruno Fernandes scooping the Football Writers Association Player of the Year award earlier in the day. Actually, it was on Friday, excuse me. And then Brighton and Hove Albion beating Wolves 3-0. And then the Shark team, that is the Citizens, beat Manchester City, beat Brentford. Excuse me, 3-0 to stay hot on the heels of the Gunners, who, as I said, are currently drawing with West Ham United, who actually need points from this fixture as they are in a serious relegation scrap with Tottenham. And then tonight, lastly, to end our European football segment, is the El Clasico, that is Barcelona up against Real Madrid. Those of you that have been following European football, you would have seen some troubling scenes coming from Madrid with what seems to be a reality TV show over there, over at Castilla, with Mbappe, the problems that he's allegedly causing with Tchouameni and Fede Valverde getting to into a fist fight, both being fined €500,000 by Real Madrid for what they caused. Both will not be allowed to play in this fixture. And the reports are saying that the fight got so serious that Valverde had to be taken to the hospital and they said he suffered some brain damage even. So crazy things happening in the world of La Liga. That'll be, the El Clasico will be at 9 p.m. I'll be off by then. So make sure you watch that, with Barcelona potentially lifting the league if they beat Real Madrid, then they will be crowned La Liga champions. But let's get back to the land of the brave, that is Namibia. We're going to start with the Standard Bank Top 8. The semi-finals took place in Ocho, with the first one being between UNAM FC, that is the Clever Boys, up against FC Ongos. UNAM took that one 1-0. And in the second final, you had Mighty Gunners up against 11 Arrows. Mighty Gunners winning that one 1-0 as well. So the final, which if I'm not mistaken will take place this weekend, will take place in Windhoek. The final, which will take place in Windhoek, will take place between the Clever Boys and Mighty Gunners. I'm sure not many people anticipated that as a final matchup, you know, with all the quote-unquote giants being knocked out. So a Standard Bank Top 8 champion will be crowned in a few days here in the capital. Eagle Media House will be present to give you coverage, give you photos, give you videos, give you interviews as per usual from that event. We also had some boxing that took place. This took place at the Mövenpick Hotel with the boxing bonanza that was hosted by the Nesta Sunshine Academy, which was in honor of our founding president, that is Sam Nyoma. And amongst the results in that boxing bonanza was Harry Simon Jr. He was up against Freeman Mabongwe, who is from Zimbabwe, in the welterweight division. And after five rounds, the Zimbabwean welterweight fighter had to forfeit the match, which obviously resulted in Harry Simon being crowned the victor in that welterweight fight. And then actually, before I proceed, I forgot one more local Namibian soccer story, and that is KK United were officially crowned as the NEFD champions after a 4-0 victory over UNAM Rundu over at the Rundu Sports Stadium. The Kavango West side has now secured promotion to the NPL for the very first time in their history. So great things happening in the Northeast. We will welcome KK United, and they seem to be a well-supported team. If anyone from Rundu is listening, you can tell us about KK United. I'm not too familiar with, you know, with their history. Again, you know, if there was a National Archives, maybe I could look them up and say, and give you some more information about KK United. But congrats to KK United. We'll be joining fellow Runduans, that is Julinho, in the Premier League, and we have someone knocking on the door. Eagle FM, good evening. I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
I'm all right, man.
What would you like to share with us?
First of all, I want just us to win the game, man. That's enough.
It's not looking good. It's not looking good.
No, but seriously, we need to win this game. If we win it, I'm guarantee you that. Because you know the Western are stuck on the end. They're also facing the relegation.
Mm-hmm.
So they are fighting really head to toe.
Yeah.
They need to get a point that it will be better for them, but we also want to get 3 points.
Yeah, no, both teams need the 3 points, actually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Seriously. And if we drop a point, it doesn't look good.
Yeah, no, it doesn't look good.
Yeah. Anyway, so, KK.
Yeah.
I think the name is missing. Kamwe something. Now it's going to confuse also. They don't know which KK now we are.
With KK Palace.
Yeah, KK Palace.
Yeah, I also thought I thought the team was also from the north, and then I read they're from Rundu.
No. It's from Rundu. It's Kamwe something. Yeah, but also they end up KK something.
Yeah.
Really, I think it's a good thing indeed. And for me, just that our Hangwena team also, they are really disappointing. Especially our fighters. They're supposed to pull off too.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the middle of the table was looking good on their side.
Mm-hmm.
And they start dropping points and so on. It doesn't look good at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, it's the boys loaned.
I see here now KK United is Kefas Kamanya.
Kamanya,
eh? Yeah, Kefas Kamanya United Football Club.
Oh yeah, exactly. Because I think it's also the either from the king or somewhere. They mean something, yeah.
Yeah.
Just abbreviation KK.
Mm.
Yeah, but seriously, I think it's a good thing that even the other side, I think young Brazilians also they are training.
Yeah.
And the southern, and now we are looking for, maybe we are looking for the east now. Where Nambules and the Yankees and the others playing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that one is, I think that one is also, not yet confirmed.
Which one?
The one for playing for Osana, Omshati.
Oh yeah,
the Okunene and the others.
Yeah, it's not confirmed yet.
Yeah, it's not confirmed yet, yeah.
Mm.
Because the team was leading there, I think this was for defense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which I think they also they want to put in the to buy the you know.
Yeah.
Because they can, I think even they qualify, they cannot enter.
Yeah, yeah.
The payment because of the already what Mighty Guns, you talk about Nampol.
Mm.
Yeah. But anyway, I think Namibian football are moving forward.
Yeah, they are doing well. Especially they, that northeast, they are doing well.
Yeah, they are doing very well. Especially the Kabango. Even they come to the North team, they will even see that they are pulling off their socks.
Yeah, no, they always do well.
Yeah. For me, what I want also to add on is that when you are talking about keeping Namibian information, especially when it comes to sports.
Yeah.
Yeah, which I think really we are not really doing well.
Yeah, not well at all.
Not only in football. Just talk about everything. You go to even the Minister of Information today.
Mm-hmm.
Then you look at their website. Maybe it's been updated last December. But things are moving.
Yeah.
And the what that they are having IT and what, and they are not supposed to read the example, but they are not already information in Namibia already. You have to dig hard.
Yeah, it's a big problem.
It's a big problem, my friend. You have to knock all the doors.
Yeah.
And then you can send left and right.
Like I should be able to easily find who, like, if I want to know who won the league in 2000, I should be able to easily find it.
Yeah, it's supposed to be just one time in the league.
Yeah.
Then it's already there.
Yeah.
But you have to go deep and
you have to call who.
Yeah. To find out, this person will give you sometimes it's not even the correct information, then you have to go and verify to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
My friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think seriously we need to come up really the way world are moving, because we are too far behind.
Yeah, it's true.
Anyway, when it comes to I think also when it comes to Premier League, you see, Cup is coming big, but there are a lot of teams already pulling off. Not to be part of it.
The NFA Cup?
Mm-hmm. Which for me, I feel like serious NFA, they need to pull up their socks.
Yeah.
We can't play anymore football for charity.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm always advocating when I come to this platform. In Namibia, we're supposed to have, even the Premier League, we're supposed to get involved in the, or it's broke.
Mm.
You talk about even Namco, they're supposed to be there. You talk about even involved even in the what? In quarters.
Yeah.
Even in the mine. Yeah. As long as they watch, then we understand they can tell us who is really denying them.
Yeah.
Because we have individual family, some I haven't mentioned, but I don't want to mention anything. But seriously. And then now we have a established body. Who's not getting anything.
Mm-hmm.
They're waiting for charity to come on the board.
Exactly.
And if there was no government, they were not supposed to even play soccer now.
Yeah.
Just imagine. But these people are supposed to have entitled. They are with APR.
Yeah, it's true.
Public partnership. Yeah, yeah. Which is supposed to be just like for us to move forward. You know this levy where people are collecting from oil. We can come up with something which are benefiting sports.
Yeah, the government said they are working on a sports levy, so like a sports tax.
Yeah, they need to.
But you know they've been working on it for how long now? Every time we're hearing we're working on
it. That's like the minister was saying, no, we need to.
Yeah.
Not we need to. She's about to tell us that. Okay, come next month or after 3 months, we're gonna have it. Information where you are even requiring that supposed to be there. That's why we are losing even the talent in the, because you don't know where you're going to find this person.
Mm-hmm.
They never listed.
Yeah.
Even somebody was doing better.
Yeah.
Unless you have to take your money out, go to tournament, for how long? If the country is big.
Mm-hmm.
For you to find the talent.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously, but I think we need to come up with something seriously.
Yeah, let's see. Time will tell.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But I think, okay, I'm going to watch my game. Then I hope we're going to win it. Even 1-0 is okay. What? The Gunners.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, my brother.
Thank you for calling.
Okay, sure.
Yes, you're welcome to come in and share your views, questions, comments, concerns. The number in the series is 0832-888-401. That's 0832-888-401. do call back. I don't know if your airtime finished or what. But as we were discussing before, the caller called in. Some boxing took place last night as well. And we had Mateus the Beast Hater. He was in action in the WBO Africa Featherweight bout. He took on South African Zolisa Bati for the WBO Africa Featherweight title. It was a 12-round clash that went the distance. And, you know, seeing that it is Mother's Day, there was some there was a sign of strength, let me put it like that, from the Beast. Because he had the words, "Rest in peace, Mom," written on his belt. So, you know, Haita was not only fighting for himself, but he was fighting obviously for his mother as well, that he recently lost. So, and he ended up doing his mother proud by beating the South African opponent. It went to a split decision. The fight went the distance and went to a split decision, and Haita ended up winning. Now, the main event was a WBO Global Super Bantamweight clash. And that involved our very own Philippus Gitumbwa . He beat Leonard Carrillo on points to get the title in the main event fight. And then some other local sporting news that we have for you. As we round up here, the local sports news segment, we had the NRU, that is the Namibia Rugby Union Rugby League, had some matches this weekend. We had Kudus taking on Dolphins. Kudus beat Dolphins 45-12. If we have any Dolphins fans listening, do call in. Tell me about Dolphins. Because every time I report on Dolphins, they're on the losing side. So maybe we have some Dolphin aficionados that can tell me what exactly is going on with the Dolphin Rugby Club. And then we had UNAM taking on Western Suburbs. UNAM beat Western Suburbs 28-7. Grootfontein took on the Rehoboth. Ooh. Big scoreline there with 65-25 for Grootfontein. And then last but not least, the Wanderers, the mighty Wanderers, who, opposite the Dolphin, it seems every time I report on Wanderers, they're always on the winning side. And that is Wanderers beating Rio Falcon 47-23. The women played as well. The Wanderers women's side thumping Rio Falcon 58-5. And then UNAM, the UNAM Borkies, who have won, I've lost count of how many leagues they've won in a row. I think they haven't lost a match for like a legitimate 3 years. Actually, they haven't lost a match. And you can see why by this scoreline, they beat Okahandja Highlanders 135-0. I didn't even know that was, I don't think I've ever seen a scoreline that big in rugby. So well done to the UNAM Bokies. And then our last piece of local sporting news, some sad news, rather sad news, is former Chief Santos and Brave Warriors footballer, legend, I should put at that, Mr. Rodney Wallace Dorsep has passed away. The cause of death is yet to be confirmed, but close friends and former teammates have confirmed the passing of Mr. Rodney Wallace Dowseb. So condolences to his friends and families and supporters. And we thank him for his contribution to Namibian football. Mr. Dowseb's career is another career which would have been excellent to read about in the sporting section of the National Archives. These are the people that, you know, people of my age, people younger than me, anyone involved, anyone that follows Namibian sports should know about what did these people achieve, these heroes, what did they achieve? How did they get us to where we are today? You know, what did they go through? What numbers did they have in terms of goals, in terms of appearances? Who did they play for? You know, these are things that we should have readily available to us that we currently don't. And from the little information I can see from Mr. Dowsep, or about Mr. Dowsep, is that he was a center back, played for the Brave Warriors. Of course, he played for Chief Santos. But that's all I can report on Mr. Rodney Wallace Dowsep. But by all accounts, he had a decorated career and was a exceptional human being, gave a lot back to the community. So once again, rest in peace to Mr. Rodney Dowsep. And we'll be back right on the other side of this.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku dite opoye ekukurile oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwa tafanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Welcome back to the Eagle Sports Zone. It is still 0-0 in the West Ham Arsenal fixture. If anything changes, I will let you know. Now let's move on to some sports business news happening on our beautiful continent of Africa. So first up, we have CAF and UEFA signing a landmark memorandum of understanding to deepen football ties between Africa and Europe. It is a 5-year agreement that covers youth development, women's football, coaching, education, and governance reform. The presidents of African and European football have formalized a renewed commitment to cross-continental cooperation, signing a memorandum of understanding in Vancouver. Now, I don't know why it was signed in Vancouver, but I digress, because that's not in any of the continents that these organizations govern, but still, that sets out an ambitious shared agenda for sport through 2031. This agreement was signed by CAF President Dr. Patrice Motsepe, as well as UEFA President Alexander Schäferin. And Motsepe had this to say. He said that African football has experienced significant growth over the past few years, and we continue to build towards making it among the best in the world. And then he went on to frame the deal as a natural extension of the long-standing relationship between the two footballing bodies. And then the UEFA president had this to say. He said that Europe and Africa are home to extraordinary footballing landscapes where the game plays a vital role both on the pitch and within society. And so some of the things that the MOU will cover, as I said, it runs until June 30th, 2031. It spans across seven key strategic areas. These areas are youth and women's football, which sits at the center of the deal, because CAF member associations are set to participate in selected CAF UEFA youth competitions and a reciprocal involvement in initiatives like CAF's African Schools Football Championship. Now, this CAF UEFA youth competition thing, that is a great thing, because our talent will be exposed. They'll experience what it is like to play against European academies, something which is key for development. But I'm not sure what they mean when they say reciprocal involvement in initiatives like the CAF African Schools Football Championship. Are they trying to say that UEFA teams will be playing in this competition? Because this is the CAF African Schools Football Championship, although it's called African Schools, is actually African countries. So, you know, are we going to see England playing against Ghana or something in this competition? And that will be interesting to see. But on the technical side, the MOU commits both bodies to structured knowledge exchange in both coaching education, where they will share best practices and aligning coaching frameworks across the confederations, as well as development programs for match officials and referee instructions. The agreement will also address longer-term institutional priorities via football development programs linking European and African member associations, education and capacity-building pathways. There will also be cooperation on football medicine and a governance framework featuring regular meetings and progressive reviews to keep delivery on track. Speaking of MOUs, there was also an MOU that Namibia signed with Botswana that was earlier in this week. And whilst these MOU announcements are, you know, a positive sign of things, I'm actually never sure what these MOUs achieve. I'm not sure what these MOUs achieve. Like the one that Namibia and Botswana signed, it would be interesting to know what exactly was achieved under this MOU. As far as I know, the one thing I can point to is the Brave Warriors are playing in Botswana, but I don't think a MOU was necessary for that to happen. But nonetheless, time will tell. I am joined in the studio by the Matriarch, who is after me. Matriarch, do you have anything to say in the sporting landscape?
I think Brave Warriors is a great team.
Is that so?
Yeah.
When last have you watched the Brave Warriors play?
No.
So how do you know they're a great team?
Their name is Brave Warriors. So they must be brave. Yeah. I'm not saying they're excellent. I'm not saying they're great.
Yes.
Or they are not great. I'm just saying that they are brave. They are courageous people, those guys.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for that insight, Matriarch.
You're welcome. See you in an hour.
We'll have you on soon to discuss more sports. We'll put you through some sport knowledge courses.
Yes.
So you can come contribute.
Yes.
But yes, the Matriarch will be joining you in
an hour.
In around an hour's time. But we'll continue next with our next story, that is Senegal partnering with Alibaba to power Dakar with cloud skills and sovereign infrastructure. This is for the upcoming Youth Olympic Games, which I so desperately would like to cover. If anyone's listening out there, if my bosses at Eagle FM are listening out there, we need to send Hende to Dakar for the 2026 Youth Olympics to provide us some great visuals and, you know, some content that you won't get anywhere else except if the Eagle Sports Zone is covering it. Anyways, Senegal is making a digital bet ahead of the 2026 Youth Olympic Games by partnering with the Alibaba Group to train engineers and thousands of young students or young people in cloud computing while simultaneously building a sovereign data infrastructure to support the games. This is fantastic news because what it says here is that the government plans to put roughly 100 engineers and several thousand young people through cloud skills training, a program announced by the Minister of Communications, Telecommunications and Digital Economy of Senegal, that is Alouine Sall. And yeah, so basically Senegal is using this to launchpad long-term digital transformation. But at the center of the partnership is the sovereign cloud platform, which will be developed by Alibaba's technical, you know-how. It will be designed to host sensitive game-related data and run critical applications covering accreditation, administration, and visitor management. The infrastructure has been built to meet high standards of availability and redundancy, with both Chinese and Senegalese engineers jointly testing the system following the installation of the physical equipment in the local data centers. Now, Senegal's Minister of Communication said that the training will start very soon. We have just completed the deployment of physical infrastructure in the data centers. We received all the equipment, we installed it, and Senegalese and Chinese engineers are working tirelessly at Alibaba, testing it to verify the mirroring and redundancy features. So as I said, Dakar is hosting the Youth Olympics, which will happen, when is it happening? The 31st of October to the 13th of November of this year. It will be the first time these games are happening on the continent. That is why I need to be there. If anyone's listening and you want to send me there, if my Eagle FM bosses are listening and you want to send me there, you know where to reach me. So beyond the track and fields, the event demands a sophisticated digital backbone to manage all the data flows, the credentialing, and as well as the administrative services that will take place. You know, now I saw this on a smaller scale when we hosted the Region 5 Youth Games. You know, we had a digital element when it comes to, you know, results. When it comes to seeking accreditation and things like that, we did have some digitalization. But as someone who was, you know, covering those games, there was some issues with the digital platform. You know, whether it was updating scores on time, whether it was finding, you know, the correct fixtures. And obviously things chop and change, so, you know, the original schedule might not be the schedule in real time. But that's why you have these digital platforms, so that when things like that change, they are updated instantly. And there were some hiccups with what we had running here, but, you know, have to start somewhere, I suppose. But I'm certain, or I would hope, that at the Youth Olympics, this digital infrastructure is going to be in tip-top condition and no hiccups. And, yeah. And the initiative sits within Senegal's broader New Deal technology, which is a national digital roadmap launched last year, aimed at positioning the country as a West African technology hub. And some targets of this strategy are training 100,000 digital graduates with 90% of them certified as specialists. So they want to certify 90,000 digital graduates, and ensuring that 100% of sensitive national data is stored domestically, which is very important, which goes back to the Starlink conversation, you know, that Namibia has been having, is about this data. Where is it going to be stored? Who's going to be in charge of this data? And truthfully speaking, there's A lot of the initiatives, a lot of the programs that Namibia on all levels, whether it's, you know, education, health, and so on, you know, home affairs, all of these digitalization things that are happening, a lot of that data is not stored here. Why? Because a lot of the companies that are being employed to, you know, carry out this digitalization things, these digitalization things, are foreign companies. You know, it's companies from Kenya, it's companies from India, it's of course companies from China. So what Senegal is doing with this will be a game changer and will be important for the country of Senegal. Hopefully Namibia can follow suit. And this is how you build a digital economy. These are the things you need to build a digital economy. So it's great to see, and it's great to see something like this being launched on the global stage. You know, the eyes of the world will be on Senegal, and Senegal is basically saying, look, us, we are going to be prepared, my friends. Next, let's move to the FIFA World Cup. I can call it now infamous FIFA World Cup, because every day it seems something is happening with this World Cup. It is still 0-0 in the West Ham Arsenal fixture. It is now the 69th minute. So the Gunners have around 25 minutes with added time to find a goal that will bring them one step closer to their first Premier League title in 22 years. With Man City hot on their heels. But a little update from the FIFA World Cup. Okay, first, before I start with this update, I don't know if anyone saw, but there's World Cup tickets for the final now that are going on sale for $11 million US dollars. How much is that in Namibian dollars, you ask yourself? That is in the ballpark of 180 million Namibian dollars. If anyone is listening that can afford this ticket, please do call in. Let us know if you would buy this ticket. But the report says that FIFA has raised the financial stakes for the 2026 FIFA World Cup to a record $871 million. That is the total prize money that will be available. And that will make it this year's tournament the most lucrative in the competition's history. The governing body announced this on the 28th of April. This was at its 36th council meeting over in Vancouver. Okay, I guess that's why the MOU was signed in Vancouver, because they were all there. Then each of the 48 participating associations will receive a further 15% increase on already announced distributions. And so, the winner of the World Cup is going to get 50 million. The runner-up is going to get 33 million. Third place is 29 million. Fourth place, 27 million. Beaten quarterfinalist, 19 million. Round of 32 exit. $11 million. Round of 16 exit, $15 million. And if you didn't manage to pass through the group stage, you will earn $9 million. And every qualified team will also receive an additional $1.5 million in preparation cost for the tournament. So if your team qualified for the World Cup, you're guaranteed $10.5 million US dollars, no matter how many games you win. So if you show up, lose four games in the group lose three games in the group stage, you'll still walk away with 10 million Benjamin Franklins. Or George Washington's, rather. And now, this was before that announcement. Now, with the 15% increase, every team is guaranteed 12.5 million US dollars. And so, just to give you an idea of how the prize money has increased over the year. In 2022, the winner of the World Cup got 42 million. In 2026, they will now get 53.5 million. That is a 27% increase. So we'll see. We'll see what this World Cup will produce. We'll see how many tickets they'll sell. You know, FIFA is telling us every time, oh, there's a historic ticket demand. But I'm reading other reports that are saying they're desperate for ticket buyers. I'm reading about hotels in the whole city saying that there's been no real uptick. So let's see. Let's see what Mr. Infantino can cook up for this upcoming 2026 FIFA World Cup. Now we go to the pool. That is the sport of swimming, with World Aquatics targeting infrastructure with 5 nation pool constructions across the continent of Africa. The report says that World Aquatics has moved into the construction phase of a multi-country aquatic infrastructure drive across Africa, with new swimming facilities now being built in Burundi, Uganda, Rwanda, and Lesotho, all expected to be open by October 2026. The fifth nation, that is Cape Verde, has signed an initial agreement to join the program with the construction contract, in the final stages of negotiation. This program is part of the World Aquatics Pool for All initiative, which is delivered in partnership with the IOC, that is the International Olympic Committee, and the Association of National Olympic Committees of Africa, that is ANOCA. It will represent one of the more concrete attempts by an international federation to address chronic shortages of competition standard aquatic facilities that has, historically limited African participation in the sport of swimming, really. So this is good to see. This is, to put it in football terms, this would be if FIFA just decided, we're going to select Namibia, we're going to select Botswana, we're going to select the DRC. All of you guys are going to get a FIFA standard stadium built in your nation. That's essentially what World Aquatics did with this announcement. So how this model works is that the project, it'll operate on a split responsibility structure. Here's what that means. The funds from World Aquatics. Excuse me, let me start over. World Aquatics will fund and deliver each pool structure. And then once it is built, the responsibility transfers. So that means the facility management, staffing, and technical operations all fall to each country's member federation, National Olympic Committee, and in some cases, local government. So if Namibia was part of this, what they would do is they will build everything. They will finance everything. But once it's complete, the facility management, who you're going to hire, all the technical operations will be the responsibility of NASFED, the Namibian Aqua Sports Federation. Yes, that's NASFED, and our National Olympic Committee. And if they said in some cases local government, I assume that would be like City of Windhoek, right? So this pattern of shared reliability is something that's quite common practice in the global sports world, where international governing bodies fund the asset but push the day-to-day operational risk to national entities. But now, whether the local federations in smaller markets have the financial and institutional capacity, very important, we'll link this to Namibia in just a second, whether they have the financial and institutional capacity to sustain these facilities over the long term is a question that the program will need to answer. So again, time will tell how this will happen. And the reason I'm saying this links to Namibia, this is the exact same thing that I speak about with the stadiums that are being built. These 121, quote-unquote, basic sporting infrastructures and the stadiums in all the regions and so on. The government has already said, Our job would just be to finance and build these things. Once they're put up, maintenance, upkeep, you know, day to day is all in the hands of the local authorities. And the question that still remains to be answered truthfully is if these local authorities have the capacity on the financial side and on the technical side. Like, do they have the know-how to run these facilities that are going to be allegedly built? And again, time will tell if that will happen. And then our last sports story is Nigeria has finally, you know, joined the netball game. The Nigeria's National Sports Commission has inaugurated the board of the Nigeria Netball Federation, marking a significant moment for a sport that has long operated on the margins of the country's sporting infrastructure. So now netball in Nigeria is, you know, formalized now. Now they have an actual structure in place. So we'll see what that means for the sport of netball over in Niger. And speaking of Niger, we'll go to our first, you know, clip on African sporting history is a brief journey through African sports history. This is by a brother who goes by the name The Merc. And this is what he had to say in regards to African sporting history.
Me is a representation of the impact of colonialism, the impact of bamboozlement, when a people are so confused about what it means to actually have African identity. Now, those young men, I do not know, I didn't even really look at where they were from or anything. I saw the video and I said, you know, for you to stand there and to argue that the determination of the development of an African nation is whether they have a rugby team or a cricket team or any of that stuff or whatever else they were talking about, it's astonishing to me. European sports. And I think the crazy thing about it is, you know, why it's actually so sad is that stuff is not isolated. A lot of people believe that is a determination of development. Those sports that they're talking about, football and rugby and so on, those sports are not that old. There are sports in Africa that are much, much older than those sports. Football was codified in England in 1863. Rugby was codified in England in 1871. And then it spread through the colonial schools and military in Africa from the late 1800s onward. Less than 200 years old. This great football that we all play is less than 200 years old. These sports only started in the 1800s, like properly. We were colonized as Africans well before they even started those sports. What I'm going to do now is that I'm going to give you some African sports that predate these ones. So we have Nguni stick fighting, Southern Africa, and that was practiced for over 1,000 years. So it's rooted in Zulu, Xhosa, and Swazi warrior culture. So it's used as combat training, initiation, and so on and so forth. Dambe boxing, Nigeria, Hausa people, at least several hundred years old, linked to pre-colonial harvest festivals and warrior rites. Lamb wrestling, Senegal, Gambia, West Africa, practiced for over 700 years. Oral histories trace it to the 14th century kingdoms like Jollof. And I'm not talking about jollof rice. Takot Omel Mahang, Sudan, Nubia. Traditional Nubian ball game recorded for centuries, possibly over 1,000 years old, using palm fiber balls. Egweji Aringa wrestling and stick duels. East Africa, Luo, Baganda, and others. Centuries old, embedded in initiation and leadership contests. Mankala Oware Bao, strategy board games, with archaeological evidence dating back 1,500 years. Aksumite Empire sites. Wow. Kingdom of Aksum, 1,500 years old. Donkey racing, North and East Africa, local community sports for centuries, especially in Nubia, Somalia, and Eritrea. Guys, these are thousands of years old. These things were getting played. Some of these sports that I just told you pre-exist England. The actual country of England, the country that these people are saying their sports determine whether we are developed or not. The country itself didn't even exist when some of the sports and games that we had existed. The crazy thing and what is sad is the fact that as Africans, we are not focused on developing our own sports. That's the sad thing. That we're not focused on saying that, you know what, let us codify our own sports, get the rules really set, get the sports safe, create them a proper leagues and promote. We're not doing that. Instead, we're focusing on whether we can have a... Why do we even have a polo club in Nigeria? For what? What's that in aid of? Guys are poor, struggling, and we're doing it. Do you know how expensive it is to have a polo club? Do you know how expensive that is? Let alone dealing with all of these other sports that these guys are... Cricket? For what? That's crazy, guys. But you know what? This is the funny thing about the way that these identities go. It's that people said, when I brought this up, they said, hey, these are combat sports. All these African sports are combat ones. And when you look at these European ones, they are much more sophisticated. And I looked at these people and I said, the sports you're talking about that these guys made are only 200 years old. The ancient sports they had, people would die. Have you ever heard of jousting? That was a damn sport where people would regularly get killed doing that. Spain, they do bull wrestling, where the whole point is to get mauled by the bull. The sports that these guys had, which could even be even remotely comparable to what we have in terms of how far back they go, those things were to the death. That's why they don't even do them anymore. Have you forgotten what gladiators are? Have you seen the movie Gladiator? That was sports to these guys. These guys had sports where people would pay to go and watch people kill themselves. And you're talking about Africans. How many sports did we even have like that? These guys were making sports at the same time that we were doing sports. We were the sports I just told you about. These guys were paying to draw blood. The movie's out. Go and watch Gladiator. Go and watch Gladiator and get back to me. So you're coming to talk to me about this. I'm like, listen, mate, this stuff was sophisticated compared to what the Europeans were doing. You want to know what the Aztecs were doing for sports? They were chopping heads. Have you seen, Apocalypto? Go and watch Apocalypto and get back to me and see what they were doing over there with the Aztecs and the Mayans. Talk about Africa. Listen, guys, get your minds right. These youngsters don't know what they're talking about. We've got sports. And what is sick about it is that you should to be using the playing of Western sports as a determination of your sophistication gives your power to these guys for them to determine whether you're sophisticated or not. Because then they'll be like, oh, have you done this? Okay, so we're going, yeah, you are there. There is no pride in that. It's nothing to be proud of. These are the realities. So I'm glad that Nigeria doesn't play those sports because I think it's ridiculous. Football is a world sport, so, you know, it is what it is. But I think that we should be working much harder to develop and promote the ancient sports that we've had and look at some of those sports that if they are, for example, too violent or refining them, changing them or adapting them so that they can be played safely in the modern era. That's what we should be doing. It wasn't until I even made this video and started looking into talking about this particular topic that I started to understand or realize the breadth and the spectrum of ancient African sports that exist. I wasn't really aware of that till I started really looking into it. Think about this, guys. Respect your culture. Leave in the comments your thoughts.
Yes, so there was a piece on some traditional African sports that date back way before the sports that we enjoy today. It's quite interesting to hear. And for the Gunners supporters out there, the Gunners are now leading 1-0 thanks to a goal from Leonardo Trossard, who scored in the 83rd minute. It is still 1-0 now. It is now the 88th minute. So around plus minus 5 minutes the Gunners have. Essentially, if they win this game, they are going to be crowned champions of England, should anything, you know, barring a disastrous last two games, it looks like the Gunners are on their way to their first title in 22 years. But let's now take a listen to, these are nine traditional sports that, you know, that people are talking about. Should these sports be in the Olympics? Let's take a listen.
Should feature in the Olympics. Many African sports have survived through the centuries. However, their structure and practice have continued to evolve. Today, there are lots of young Africans that are talented in traditional African sports. Indirectly, they are the custodians of these sports. Without regular contests, these sports may have become extinct. In 2020, the Olympics Committee announced that they would be incorporating traditional games in the competitions, and many African sports qualify to be on their list. Now, Africans have a not-too-impressive record at the Olympics. The reason is partly that most of the games played at the Olympics are alien to Africans. However, adopting African sports at the Olympic Games will give them global recognition. Perhaps, when this happens, we won't have to worry so much about their extinction. Here are some of the games that the Olympics Committee should consider. Number 9. Kwepina. Kwepina is a popular game in Kampala, Uganda. This traditional African sport is mostly played by girls. The yard game is fun and widely enjoyed across the slums. The players take turns to dodge a softball usually made of plastic which is hurled by their opponents. In an attempt to make the game accepted by the Olympics, Simon Chumakunde, a sport developer, defined the court dimensions and introduced the regulation balls. To further grow the audience of the standardized game, Chumakunde is organizing competitions among schools and company staff. According to historians, the original game was played in West Africa. At that time, it was one of the drills used by fighters training for battle. Instead of softball, the players used rocks which often strike a fatal blow. Number 8. Capoeira. Capoeira is probably the most common African sport with its origin in Angola. Dance moves inspired by martial arts characterize this rather unusual sport. It can be performed by two or more dancers in an enclosed area. Watching the performers move rhythmically makes you appreciate the power of mastery. Capoeira deserves a spot in the Olympics for several reasons. Top on the list is that many Africans widely revere it. Secondly, this traditional African sport educates and reimagines the liberation of African people from slavery in Brazil. Number 7. Dam boxing. Boxing games tend to attract a lot of attention, especially when it's in a traditional setting. Dam boxing is proof of this claim. Originally, this traditional African sport was played by the Hausa people of northern Nigeria as a recreational activity. With time, it evolved and is now a much more famous African sport with a wider audience. The boxers face each other in pairs and fight until one person cannot continue. At this point, the opponent is declared the winner. What makes this boxing unique is that the fighters can only punch with one arm. The fighters' dominant arms are wrapped with a rope to provide more punch power. It also prevents knuckle fractures and knuckle-inflicted injuries. Given that this game is not as violent as the MMA cage fights, there is no reason it shouldn't feature in the Olympics. Number 6. Senegalese wrestling LAM. LAM is an ancient wrestling game from Senegal that started as a recreational activity during harvesting periods. Furthermore, it resembles DAM from Nigeria, only that wrapping arms with ropes is absent. LAM takes place between two masculine men whose objective is to throw the opponent to the ground by lifting him up and over, usually outside a marked area. As a sporting activity that competes at the national level in Senegal, we feel it would be a great addition to the Olympics. This traditional African sport will surely add flavor and diversity to the Olympics. Number 5. Tar Kurtom El Mahag. Undeniably, Tar Kurtom El Mahag is modern-day European baseball. If not, they must have derived inspiration from it. Nevertheless, Tar Kurtom El Mahag was widely played by the Berbers tribesmen from the Libyan desert. Like baseball, The game was played between two teams consisting of nine players who took turns playing defense and offense. Since baseball was discontinued from the Olympics, Tarkirt on Elmahag is one of the African sports that will make a great alternative. Number 4. Ngani Stick Fighting. Many African traditional sports appear to have an occasion tied to them, especially farming seasons. Ngani is a traditional sport from South Africa which was staged mostly by the Ngani herders. The game features two fighters who play defense and offense until one wins. Points for this game are usually rated by which body part was hit using the stick. The opponents perform several stances during the game, which lasts for up to 5 hours. When done in a controlled environment with defined rules, this game is entertaining to watch. Number 3. Donkey Racing. Donkey racing is a popular sporting event that happens in the Kenyan coastal town, Lamu. It attracts huge crowds of people who come to cheer their favorite riders. Also, the sport is common during the fiesta of the annual Maulidi, thereby bringing the people together. The sport is played by a rider who hops on the back of a donkey and nudges it to run for the finish line as quickly as it can. As these animals are domesticated and used primarily as a means of transportation, they are adequately adapted for this African sport. Number 2. Sivaka, Bull Riding. Among the Betsailio people of Madagascar, bull riding is a tradition they use to pass culture across generations. The game is a rite of passage that is meant to signal that a man is ready to be a responsible society member. For the thrilling game, participants need to be physically fit. This is because when an angry bull is released from a cage, the man will attempt to hang on it for as long as possible. The winner is the one who manages to mount the bull for the longest time. Interestingly, the prize is a bragging right, nothing more. Number 1. Yuxke. Yuxke is the name of a wooden pin that early Afrikaners used as an ox's yoke. It was from this premise that the sport Yuxke rose. The sport was played by attempting to knock off a stick planted on the ground with the Yuxke. Since it was formalized and rules are drawn, this African sport has gained popularity across the continent for its uniqueness. Teams of fours or pairs play this game. Yuxke is played at national levels under supervision by the International Yuxke Federation. The way forward for African sports. After watching the video, you probably wonder why some of these sports aren't being played competitively, yet. Here is the thing. Most traditional African sports lack a definite structure. This means no specific rules of the games, no tournaments, awards, or training. In the absence of these, it is harder to standardize and scale the games. Thankfully, that is changing. Some African governments are now putting their weight behind traditional sports. With better funding, the custodians of these games can develop them further and organize more tournaments. Subsequently, its popularity will increase and give it a shot at becoming admitted into the Olympics. Perhaps, with the inclusion of more African sports at the Olympics, the continent will start harvesting more gold medals.
Yes, a little insight into some traditional sports that, you know, maybe one day we'll see at the Olympics. But Arsenal supporters, I have some bad news for you. It is now 1-1 thanks to a 95th minute goal from Callum Wilson. 95th minute. It is now the 97th minute. The final whistle will be going any second now. So if you are an Arsenal supporter, you're welcome to call in, share your pain, share your sorrows, share your frustrations. You still are in the lead in the title race as things stand. But you know, if Man City win their game in hand, it's gonna get shaky, my friend. It's gonna get shaky. It is now the 98th minute. Anyways, let's take a short musical break. On the other side of this, I'll give you the full time score of West Ham against Arsenal. Pivotal fixture in the title race. This time we go to the wonderful sounds of the man that we lost this year, and that is Mr. Jimmy Cliff.
War on
are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Wow, 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 wow. Dios míos, Dios míos, Dios míos. I have some news from the Arsenal fixture. It is the match finished 1-0 after VAR ruled out West Ham's goal in the 95th minute. So the Gunners ended the match, leaving the match with all 3 points after a dramatic finish. There will be fallout after this. You know, VAR. Look what you took from us, VAR. Look what you took from us, VAR. If you're Arsenal supporter, do call in 0832888401. You know, before I ask you to call in to share your sorrows, now you can, I guess you can call in and share how happy you are, how excited you are. And if you believe that the first title in 22 years is coming, if you believe, well, VAR has helped you out, so shouldn't be a problem now. Anyways, we're going to take one more short commercial break, and then we're going to travel through the continent. I'll bring you some interesting sporting facts. We're going to stay in the reggae genre. This time we're going to Buju. With Untold Stories.
While I'm living, thanks I'll be giving the Most High. I'm a living while I'm living, to the Father I will pray. Only in know how we get through every day. Only I give the price, I'm a link we have to pay. While our leaders play, all I see, people are ripping and rob, all are grime. Thief never love, is a thief with long bag. No love for the people who are suffering bad. Another toll to the poor, may God help his soul. What is to stop the youth from getting out of control? Full of our education, yet no own a payroll. The clothes from me back have countless eyes old. Could go on and on, the fool has never been told. I'm a living while I'm living, to the Father I will pray. Only him know how we get through every day. With only I give the price, I'm a living we have to pay. While our leaders play, Mr. Who can afford to run will run. But what about those who can? They will have to stay. Opportunity a scarce commodity. In this time I say, when mama spend her last, I'll send you the class. Never you ever play. It's a competitive world for low budget people, spending the time while earning a nickel, with no regard to who it may tickle. My cup is full to the brim. I could go on and on, the fool has never been told. Though this life it gets me down, won't give up now, got to survive. Some way, somehow. I could go on and on, the fullest life I've been told. I'm a living while I'm living, to the Father I will pray. Only him know how we get through every day. With only I in the price, I'm a living we have to pay. While our leaders play, all I see, people are ripping and rob, all are grime. Thief never love, is the thief with long bag. No love for the people who are suffering bad. Another toll to the poor, may God help his soul. What is to stop the youth and get out of control? Full up of
education, get no own a payroll. The clothes by your back have countless eyes old. Who go on and on, the fool has never been told. I'm a living while I'm living to the Father I will pray. Only him know how we get through every day. Only I can the price, I'm a leg we have to pay. While our leaders play, they say who can afford to run, we'll run. But what about those who can't? Here we'll have to stay. Opportunity has scarce commodity. In this time I say, when mama spend her last and send you go class, never you ever play. It's a competitive world for low budget people, spending their time while earning a nickel, with no record for who it may tickle. My cup is full to the brim. I could go on and on, the fool has never been told. Could go on and on, the fool has never been told. Could go on and on, the fool has never been told. Could go on and on. The fool has never been
fooled. Lipura nengeno wapumbwa Eva tere uliko ni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshuala onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa ninge kwata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
My friend.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
Okay. Now we're going through some unknown African sporting facts, some unknown African sporting history. And we're going to start with the land of the brave. Actually, not with the land of the brave, it's with South Africa. But that South Africa once had a Formula One driver, and his name was Jody Scheckter. Excuse me, not Jody Scheckter. It actually isn't. Let me start over. Rewind. Apologies for that. So Jody Scheckter is South African, and he's actually Africa's only Formula One champion, right? But Namibia had a Formula One driver as well. And his name was Cyril van der Merwe. He raced in Southern Africa and helped build the region's motorsport culture. Now that, you know, that is something that the National Archives would have been for. I would not have known that if I didn't use my favorite large language model to look up this segment, right? I have so many questions after finding out that we had a Formula One driver, and I wish there was more information. I wish I could reach him personally, actually, to ask him about his experience as a Namibian racer. Then the next story, we go to Ethiopia, where at the 1960 Summer Olympics, Abebe Bikila won the marathon running barefoot through the streets of Rome. An Ethiopian won a marathon running barefoot, and this was in 1960. So, you know, East Africa is, dominance in long distance running started way back in 1960. It was the first Olympic gold medal ever won by a sub-Saharan African athlete. And a fun fact about when he did this is that he passed the obelisk of Aksum during the race, which is a monument taken from Ethiopia by, at the time, fascist Italy during the occupation. And, you know, I know we have a lot of football lovers. Something that you guys might not know is that DRC was the first sub-Saharan African nation to participate at a FIFA World Cup. This is after they qualified in 1974, but they were still under the name Zaire at the time. And apparently, reportedly, the squad members received poor treatment and unpaid bonuses, leading to internal chaos during the tournament. A famous moment involved the defender Mwepu Ilunga running out of the wall to kick away a Brazilian free kick before it was taken. The Western media mocked him for years, but later reports suggested it may have been an act of protest and confusion amid threats from the regime back home. Back to East Africa is Kenya's dominance in women's volleyball. Between the 80s and the 90s, Kenya were quite dominant in the sport of women's volleyball. They qualified for multiple Olympics and became one of Africa's most successful women's team in any sport. And then now we go, we stay on the East. Is Uganda once produced a heavyweight boxing champion, and his name was John Mugabe, became one of Africa's most feared boxers in the 1980s and challenged the legendary Marvin Hagler in a brutal world fight. And it says that, you know, Uganda once had a strong boxing history, mainly between the 60s and 80s. This was tied to military sporting programs. And military sporting programs are something I find quite interesting. I don't think they exist, speaking under correction, but I don't think they exist today. Really, I don't think there's any nations that have, you know, nationwide military sporting programs. But military sporting programs and just national sporting programs overall. You know, something I learned in a sports history class about how the Soviet Union, you know, essentially had, it wasn't a military sports program, but it was basically ran that way. You know, back in that time, what the Soviet Union used to force basically the children to do to develop, you know, the successful athletes that we saw during that time. It's very interesting. And then now back to West Africa is that, Nigeria won Olympic gold in football before many European nations did. So Nigeria's national football team won gold at the 1996 Summer Olympics, where they beat both Brazil and Argentina, and was the first Olympic football gold medal won by an African nation. You know, and that team included the likes of Kanu, JJ Okocha, Amokachi, legendary names. And closer to home in SADC is when Zambia won an African Cup of Nations a month after a national tragedy. In 1993, most of Zambia's national football team had died in a plane crash coming from Gabon. But less than a decade later, Zambia won the 2012 African Cup of Nations in Gabon near the crash site. So not months after the national tragedy, like I said, excuse me, but it was in and around the same area where the national tragedy happened. But ladies and gentlemen, There's some African sports history I have to share with you. One more, actually, that I want to share with you is about Ethiopia and Kenya. They became long-distance superpowers, partly because of the rivalry during the Cold War. So at that time, distance running became, you know, was a matter of national prestige. And a gentleman by the name of Mirutus Yifter, his nickname was Yifter the Shifter, became a Cold War era legend after dominating in the 1980 Summer Olympics. And then, you know, Kenya followed that model and said, we can match that. And obviously they produced the likes of Kipchoge, Henry Rono, that have gone on to dominate global long distance running. But ladies and gentlemen, that is all the time I have for today. The matriarch will be joining you in the studio. And if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to The Villager so you get The Villager newspaper every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Simply send us a WhatsApp message at 081-200-4144. That's 081-200-4144. Make sure you save the number as a contact and send us your email address as well so you can get The Villager live and direct both to your mobile device and as well as to your email address. But ladies and gentlemen, that is all the time I have for tonight. You will be joined shortly in the studio by the matriarch, but in the meantime, the lovely sounds of Mr. Bob Marley will serenade you.
You are now tuned in to the Eagle Sports Zone.
saying just a part of it. We got to fulfill the book. Won't you as I say? Jesus of freedom. That's all I ever had. Redemption song. All I ever had. Redemption. Sons of freedom. Sons of freedom.
Yard entrenched down.